Shira on Tehillim chapter 12, given by Gershon Hattner, North Hand and Kolo, Sunday 13th of September 2009, 24th of Elul, Tafshin Samach Tes. And we're up to Pasuk Gimel, so it's Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Gimel, and we're learning about the wonderful midas that a person will need, or a person should have, in order to be Zoche, as David puts it, to be Yogur Ba'ahlecha, and to be Yishkun Ha'akashecha, to have this closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Pasuk Gimel. Lo Rogal Al Lashono. He didn't speak Lashon Hara. Lo Asolari Ehu Ra'a. A person did not do evil to his Chava. To Chepolemus Lo Masa Al Karovo. And he didn't, literally, didn't carry shame Al Karovo on his relative, or for his relative. So, here we see more midas ben not good midas ben not lachaveiro. He doesn't, person doesn't speak lashon hara, doesn't hold any bad, doesn't do anything bad against another person, and he doesn't carry shame cherpa for his korah, for his relatives, disgrace. He doesn't cast disgrace. The art scroll translates it le nosa al krovo. He did not cast disgrace upon his intimates, upon any friends. Well, his relatives. So Rashi explains that this word lo rogal, first idea in the pasuk is lo rogal and l'shono. What's this word lo rogal? So Rashi explains that it really, that a good source for this is in Shmuel Beis. A good way of working out is from Shmuel Beis, chapter Yotes, pasuk Kafches, where we have this rather moving meeting between David HaMelech and Mephibosheth. The pasuk there says, "Vayeragel ba'avdecha el Adoni Hamelech." Vayeragel ba'avdecha, and this word "Vayeragel ba'avdecha" will throw light on our pasuk Lo Rogal and Lashono. What's the story there? In Shmuel Beis, chapter Yotes, pasuk Kaf Ches. What's the story there? The story is it takes place during the, or actually just at the end of David's. Avshalom's war, rebellion against David, where David never had to go on the run, and he ran away from Yerushalayim, and Avshalom fought this rather bitter battle against David's troops. And there was one man who came to David posing as a friend of David. Who is this man? His name was Tziva. And Tziva was a servant of Mephibosheth. And who is Mephibosheth? He's a son of Yehonathan. And who's Yehonathan? A son of Shaul. So, we have this man, Tziva. He's a servant to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth is a grandson of Shaul, son of David's beloved friend, Yehonathan. And Tziva came to David during the war, or quite early in the stages of the war, and David asked Tziva, "Where is your master?" i.e., where is Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth is the son of Yehonathan. Yehonathan is a good chaver of mine. He's a very close friend of mine. So Mephibosheth, his son, is presumably also a friend. Where is Mephibosheth? And he asked Tziva, "Where is your master?" That's it. Very good. Oh, we're coming to that. Yes. Yes. So David asks Tziva, "Where is your master, Mephibosheth?" And Tziva says, "Well, Mephibosheth is no longer a friend of yours. And he's joined sides with Avshalom, and he's now fighting against you." That was an absolute out-and-out lie. Tziva said it in order to curry favour with David, and David rewarded him. David gave him some rewards, and I actually can't remember the details of those rewards. After the war, David meets up with Mephibosheth, son of Yonasan, son of Shaul, and David says to him, "But where were you, by the way? You know, we've now won the war, but by the way, where were you? Why didn't you lama lo halachta imi Mephibosheth?" And that's just Tupsakim earlier, Pasuk 26. Lama lo halachta imi Mephibosheth, why didn't you come with me? So he answered, Vayomar, he said, "Adoni HaMelech, my master the king, Avdi, my servant Rimoni, my servant Tziva tricked me. Kiyomar, Ki Ama Avdecha, your servant thought," that means I, Mephibosheth, thought, "Ech b'shaliach, amerve ekavaleo ve'elech esmelech, I plan to come with you. And I needed some help in coming with you, ki fiseach avdecha, I, your servant, am lame," as he said, So I couldn't, I needed a bit of help to come with. But you know what happens? Tzivor double crossed me. I had every intention of joining you and supporting you. So supporting you, David. But I couldn't do it by myself. I needed help to do the journey. And meanwhile, Tzivor ran off and told you that I had joined Avshalom's army. It was a lie. Vayiragel ba'avtecha el Adoni HaMelech. And he, Vayiragel, means he told Lashon Hara about me, your servant, to you, my master, O king. Etc. etc. So this word by Yerachel is clearly an expression of Lashon Hara. So Rashi explains this expression, Lo Ragal al Lashono, means he didn't speak any Lashon Hara. So this tzaddik described in our Pasuk, in Pasuk Gimel, Lo Ragal al Lashono, he did not speak any Lashon Hara. And Rashi defines it from the story of Mephibosheth and Tzivor and David, where Mephibosheth says, By Yerachel ba'avdachol, my servant, Tzivor told Lashon Hara about me, and it was a lie. That's not just Lashon Hara, it's Motzi Shem Ra, it was an absolute lie. What happened to Tzivor? Oh, so then David believed Mephibosheth, and Tzivor fell out of favor, and all the gifts that David gave Tzivor, he now transferred over to Mephibosheth. Pardon?
What did he do to Tzivor?
I don't know what he did to Tzivor. Don't know. Do you know that? Yeah, I can't remember. Can't remember what he did. Yeah, the Radak points out, just a small aside, that in our pasuk we have the word rogal, which is in the kal, and in there it's got vayoragel, same root, but in the pl. Just a slight difference between the two, but in effect it's the same root, and it means to speak Lashon Hara. Rashi translates, maybe that's right.
That's a bit like Mechilus, doesn't it, rogal?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, so we're coming to that. Thank you. Yeah, we're coming to that. Rashi translates Leroga la Lashono Ankusa Belaz. Ankusa in the old French. And Ankusa is to accuse. Ankusa, to accuse. Now, to accuse someone of something, and it's a wrong accusation, or it's anyway, it's a Lashon Hara. Let's finish off still with Rashi. Vedeva emesbo. No, it's the wrong one. Becherpa, yes. Rashi on Becherpa translates it as Rapota. Becherpa lo nosa al Kerovo. Rashi says that the word Becherpa is Rapota, which means to report. And he says you don't believe any bad reports, any shameful reports, disgraceful reports, al Kerovo on his relatives. But in other words, the person is not makabel any Lashon Hara. That's the idea. The chepel and nosa al-kerovo is not makabel the Lashon Hara. And the word nosa, which in this sense means to accept Lashon Hara, comes from the pasuk lo sisa shem ashov. This is pointed out by the Ibn Ezra that we have a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, it's chapter Kaf Gimel pasuk Aleph, lo sisa Shema Shov, which is the Issa in the Torah to believe Lashon Hara. Don't believe any Lashon Hara. Lo Sisa. So here, Vecherpa lo Nosa al Kerovo, he didn't believe a bad report, Rapportas. Rashi learns that he didn't believe any disgraceful reports al Kerovo about his relative. Yeah, that's Rashi here. Rashi gives another shot on Vecherpa lo Nosa al Kerovo. Interesting shot. Here he says, if a person is guilty of a crime, and that person is a relative or a close friend of yours, if you cover up for him and you make out as though it's nothing, and you cover up for him and you help this guy to get away with his crime, eventually it will rebound on you. You shouldn't have done that. And people will come up to you and accuse you, rightly so, of covering up the al Kerovo. So the Cherpa lo Nosa al Kerovo means don't carry the shame for your korov, for your relative or for your friend. And here the word Nosa means to lift up and to lift away from something. Nunsin Aleph can mean to lift up, and it means the Cherpa lo Nosa al Kerovo, he didn't lift up and remove away from his korov any Cherpa. If a person's guilty of a crime, so you've got to face up to that, and if you're due to punish him, then you see to the punishment. You've got to be punished.
Even if it means saying nothing?
Even if it means saying nothing, yeah. We did that last week about lying with silence.
That was,
I don't even answer that, yeah. Lying through silence. Yeah, the story about Rav Safra. he remained silent because he felt that to.
Because
he felt to remain silent would be tantamount to lying.
Should you tell the authorities about?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. The chepel and osal grovo. It's a good thing not to remove blame if a person is blameworthy. If a person is high, it's a punishment. No, absolutely not. Yeah. No, it means to base him.
Yeah,
if a person's done something wrong, if Reuben was Mazik Shimon and he owes money to Shimon, and you remain silent because you feel sorry for Reuben, that's wrong. That's not Mishpat. To report it to the base him. Otherwise, Rebla not Sakriva, people will accuse you of covering up for someone. A very interesting piece of Targum here. I really have hung off this piece of Targum. Lo rogal al lashono says the Targum, an expression which I did not understand. Lo achal kurtzin belishne. Well, lo achal means he didn't eat. Yes. Kurtzin, I had no idea what that meant. Mm-hmm. Belishne with his tongue. I was completely baffled by this Targum. What does it mean? He did not eat kurtzin with his tongue. That's the Targum's translation of lo rogal al lashono. And it took me quite a while till I unraveled this mystery. And of course, I should have known it straight away, of course. It comes straight from the Torah. The Torah says, it's in Parshas Kedoshim, it's chapter Yud Tes, and it's Posik Tes Zayin, lo selech rochil b'amecha. So you said, Johnny, you said that rogal is like rochil. And it's exactly what Rashi says. Lo rogal al lo selech rochil b'amecha, which means don't speak Lashon Hara. Rashi, there's a long piece of Rashi here, all about the phonetics of Lashon HaKodesh. And he points out that letters, where the sound of certain letters come from a same or a similar part of the mouth, those letters are interchangeable. So says Rashi, for example, a tzadi and a zayin, which have very similar sounds, you call them a sibilant sound, a s sound, a ts or a z or a s for a samach or for a sin. Those letters, which all have similar sounds, are made by this are formed by pressing the tongue against the roof of the mouth. Says Rashi, they're interchangeable. Those letters are interchangeable. Likewise, he says, a base and a pay are both sounds made with the lips. We call them labial letters, made with the lips, a b and a p. In fact, a base and a pay are really the same sound. If you whisper a b, you end up with a p. Yeah? I'll try and say a bass, but I'll whisper it. You get the sound of a pay. So a bass and a pay are related, they're both labial letters. In fact, there's another very strong connection between a bass and a pay, and that is if you look at a letter pay in a Sefer Torah, I should have brought it in. I've got it right here. If you look at the letter a pay in a Sefer Torah, yes. Yeah, look at that. There you are. A letter pay as drawn by a sofer. Inside the pay, the white part of a letter pay is a letter base. The inside of a pay is a base. Look at the white inside the pay, the white shape, right? Sorry, yeah. The base, the pay is black, right? But the inside of the pay is drawn, i.e. the white part inside, forms a perfect base, including the bit sticking out. Can you see it? Here. Look in the inside of the pay. Don't look at the black, look at the white.
Yeah.
And it's a perfectly formed base, including the bit sticking out on the bottom right hand corner. Yeah? So it's another connection between a base and a pay. So a base and a pay can be interchangeable letters, Rashi says. Yeah? Likewise, a gimel and a chaf, where the gimel and the chaf, I think its sound comes from the back of the throat. I'm not quite sure which part of the mouth. They're gutturals. Yeah, the chaf is a sort of a guttural. But he says the gimel and the chaf are interchangeable letters. Therefore, lo rogal is closely connected to reish chaf lamed. Reish gimel lamed is closely connected to reish chaf lamed. Resh Chof and Gimel, interchangeable, and therefore hence we know that Lo Rog Gal is an expression of Rechilus, of spreading Lashon Hara. Okay? Now, then Rashi says on this, and he quotes the Targum. The Targum in Parshas Kedoshim on Lo Seirech Rochel Bamecha says, Lo Seichul Kuritzin Ba'amoch, don't eat Kuritzin among your people. And of course, that's the clue to understanding this piece of Targum, which is almost identical. What does it mean? So Rashi explains that Kuritzin means winking with your eye. Right? And it's an expression of a person speaking, and what comes out of his mouth might sound quite reasonable, but there's a lot of innuendo there. And he's trying to get an evil message over to someone. And he does it by winking while he's saying it. You know, he's trying to say, you know, that's right, he's honest, yeah, exactly. Yeah, this guy's really honest, and he gives a massive wink, knowing wink.
How honest can he be?
Yeah, exactly, right? So that is real Lashon Hara. He didn't say the words of Lashon Hara, but he acted it out. It's pure 100% Lashon Hara. Says Rashi, that's Kuritzin, it's a wink, right? And he's getting a message over. Then Rashi points out that very often a person speaking Lashon Hara will do so while eating a snack at the listener's table. It's like, you know, they're relaxing together, they're having a bit of a meal together, having a bit to eat. And that's why the Torah translates Lo Seilech Rochel Ba'amecha, and the Targum translates as Lo Seichul Kuritzin Ba'amoch. Don't eat while winking and spreading Lashon Hara in this manner. And that's the pshat in our Targum. This man did not do this. Lo achal kuritzin belishnei. He didn't eat a meal while spreading rumours, even if only with a little wink. Yeah? Interesting. And now we come on to another piece of Targum, where the pasuk goes on, Lo asalari ehura'ai. He didn't do any evil to his friend. Says the Targum, translates the Targum, lo avad lechavri bishusa. And there's nothing very exciting about that Targum. It's a direct translation of he didn't do any evil to his friend. I just want to point out to you something which my wonderful son Yaakov Chaim says, and that is that the Targum translates ro'ah as bishusa. The Targum for ro'ah, evil, is the word bish, base yud shin. That's the Aramaic for the word ra. So he translates ro'ah as bishusa, which is the same word really. So my son Yaakov Chaim said that maybe the English word rubbish comes from a combination of ra and bish. Ra is Hebrew, bish is Aramaic of ra, and they're both expressions of bad or evil, and the English word rubbish could come from a combination of the Hebrew ra with the Aramaic bish. And if he's wrong, so what? It's a beautiful thing to say, yeah? And we don't know, because we don't know the etymology of what lies behind that word, rubbish. But maybe it's a combination of ra and bish. I have to say that. Yeah. Good. The Ibn Ezra translates, the Cherpala Nosa al Karovo says that he didn't do anything bad, a person didn't act badly, such that it would bring shame upon his relatives. And we'll come, that's Lenosa al Vechepa Lenosa al Kevin. In other words, he didn't cause any shame to his relatives by behaving badly. That's how that's the Ibn Ezra. And then others also say something very similar. Let's come on to the Gemara in Makkos, which is on this entire chapter in Tehillim. We've referred to it previously. It's Makkos Taf Kastana Damad Aleph, where the Gemara says, Lo Rogal al Lashonah, he didn't speak Lashon Hara. To whom is that referring? That is Zer Yaakov Avinu. This is reference to Yaakov Avinu, Tichzid, as the Pasuk says, and it's a Pasuk in Parshas Toldos, and it's chapter Gam Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis, where he says, Ulai Yumushemi Ovi, maybe my father will feel me, while ye see the ain of Kimisatea, and I'll appear in his eyes to be a trickster. This is when Rivka is talking to Yaakov, and she says to Yaakov, you should get the brachas, dress up as Esav, you pretend to be Esav, put the animal skins on your arms, that'll make your arms feel hairy, it'll trick Yitzchak into thinking that you are Esav, and you'll get the bracha. So this pasuk that so Yaakov says, well, how can I do that? Maybe he'll feel me, and then he said, maybe he'll feel me. Maybe Yitzchak, my father, will feel me, and then I realize I'm lying. And so that Rivka answered, well, put the animal skins on your arms, and that'll make you feel hairy like Esau. So the Gemara learns from this pasuk that the words Lo Rogal Lashon is reference to Yaakov. He didn't speak Lashon Hara. What's the pshat? So the Rizvan says, what it means is that he never told, he was very reluctant to tell a lie. He didn't want to tell a lie to his father, or indeed to Rivka also not. What do you need, David? What you lost?
I lost a pair of keys this morning in Shul.
Did it have an I love New York fob?
Sorry?
Did it have an I love New York fob on it? Because I found a pair of keys with an I love New York fob.
When this morning?
No, you definitely haven't.
It's only have been this morning.
Ah, okay, all right, no, okay. Right, sorry.
And it couldn't have been me with that fob in it.
Okay. So Rivon says that he didn't want to tell a lie. That's Leraga Lalashemit, and he was very reluctant to. Yaakov shows reluctance to go to Yitzchak, and it took a lot of persuasion from Rivka to persuade him into doing it. And that's how we see Leraga Lalashemit, that Yaakov did not tell a lie readily. He didn't want to tell a lie. Yeah? And it took Rivka a lot of persuasion. It took Yaakov persuasion from Rivka to get him to do that. Absolutely. Tis an MS for Yaakov, very much totally against his whole way of life. Yeah, and he had to. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Oh, good. Right. Yeah. The Marsha learns a little bit differently from Rashi. The Marsha says, how do we know from this pasuk that he didn't tell a lie? That he could have told Yitzchak the truth about Esav years earlier. Yaakov could have gone to Yitzchak and said, you know what kind of guy Esav is? He's a murderer, he's immoral. He could have told him the truth about Esav and put Yitzchak to rights about Esav years earlier.
Wasn't he hired to do that?
I don't know. Maybe Yaakov wasn't aware of the murders, but he knew he was a rotten apple. He knew he was a bad guy, and he didn't tell Yitzchak. And with that, Lo Roga La Lashono. And of course, Yaakov's whole fears about going to get the brachas from Yitzchak were all based on the fact that Yitzchak didn't know the truth about Esav. Says the Marsha, if only Yaakov would have gone and told the whole load of Lashon Hara to Yitzchak years earlier about Esav, then Yitzchak would have been aware. So we learn from this that he didn't speak any Lashon Hara, nor did he. Let me just finish this one point from the Marsha. Nor did Yaakov tell Yitzchak the truth about the sale of the Bechorah, of the firstborn. So Yaakov never said a word about this to Yitzchak. Says, now we see Lo Rogal Lashono. Yes, no one.
Isn't one allowed to speak Lashon Hara in certain circumstances, which includes the generally good, if it's going to be of benefit to other people?
Could be, I've no idea. Could be, I don't know the halachas. He'll learn the Shulchan Aruch on Lashon Hara in the Chafetz Chaim Sefer.
I believe there is an
There may well be situations that it would miss. So in that case, a bit of a kasha, why didn't the Yaakov go to Yitzchak and put him to rights about it?
This is such a situation.
Another shot in this Gemara about why didn't Rivka say anything? Another shot on Lo Rogal Lalashono being a reference to Yaakov Avinu, in connection with this going to Yitzchak with the animal skins on his hands and so on, is brought by the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Yishchai. In his sefer, the Ben Yehoyada, he says a very sweet thing. He says, if a person is a seasoned liar and a seasoned trickster, they can pull off a trick, they can pull off a lie successfully without giving the game away. But if they're standing there and their face gives it away, or they're shaking. They're not very good actors, and they're not good actors because they're not seasoned liars. So as they're presenting this lie, they're shaking head to toe. Then they're not going to be able to fool anybody. They won't get away with it. They won't be able to fool anybody. Yaakov is clearly such a truthful person, such a man of MS, that he's worried. If he puts these animal skins on his hands, as he's presenting himself before Yitzchak, and presenting himself as Esav, and therefore pulling off a trick to Yitzchak, he'll be shaking, because he's not a seasoned liar, he'll be shaking so much that the animal skins will fall off. That's how the Ben Yoyada lands. It's a very chiddush, a very sweet shot. Therefore, we see from Yitzchak's, from Yaakov's reluctance in the whole thing that maybe my father, Ulayim Mishini Yobi, he'll feel me. Well, he says, I'll be shaking, he'll feel me shaking. Or he says, even if I wear the animal skins, Yaakov was still reluctant because he was worried he'd be shaking so much the skins would fall off. That's how the Ben Yoyada lands shot in this Gemara. Yeah. Lo osalere ehu ra'a. So how does the Gemara continue on the drash of lo osalere ehu ra'a? He didn't do any evil to his friend. Says the Gemara, who is that? Shelo yorad lo umnus chaveiro. That's a reference to a person not being over on the issur of, what's it called? Lo safi gavul re'acha. Of hasagas gavul. Of entering into someone else's paranasa. Opening up in competition directly opposite. Lo yorab lo umnes chaveru. So, and that's a person who shouldn't go into someone, shouldn't take away someone else's panosa by going into direct competition in the area, in the same area. That's lo yorab lo umnes chaveru. The marshal learns a different shot on that. He says that he quotes the Mishnah right at the end of Kiddushin, and I didn't bring it. I had it bookmarked, and I didn't bring it. Never mind. That. I think it's Rav Meir or Rav Nahurai, who really is Rav Meir as well, saying, I didn't teach my son any particular umnus ela Torah. I want my son, he should learn Torah and only learn Torah. So the mashallah and shalei yarad lo umnus chaveru means that a person simply stuck to Torah learning and didn't go into any particular umnus. Yeah, that's how the Marsha lands that this Gemara. Then the last case, oh, I've got it here. I know it's Maniach Ani Kul Omna Sheba Olam. Rav Meir said, I'm leaving aside all trades in the world and I'm only going to teach my son Torah. And the point being that Torah, we learn, it says about Torah learning and about Chochmah, Shekinah Sofrim Tadech Chochmah, that if a person only learns Torah, that there's no jealousy. Kinas sofrim tada chachma. If two Talmid Chachamim are jealous of each other's chachma, it'll have a very positive effect. Right? If I'm jealous of your learning, yeah. That'll have a very positive effect on me. Yeah. Right? Because I don't want to be left behind. Yeah. So therefore, lo yorad lo umnes chaveru. When it comes, there's no din of hasagas gavul when it comes to Torah learning. Yeah. I'm not taking away your chachma. If I learn more Torah than you, I'm not taking away your chachma. On the contrary, you'll be jealous of my chachma, and it'll make you learn better. Yeah. So that's how the Marsha learns it. You're not taking away anyone's panosa by learning Torah. On the contrary, you're making him learn better as well. If it causes jealousy, then it'll have a good effect on him and make him learn better. Yeah.
Just out of interest, say somebody wants to open up a kosher butcher shop.
Yeah.
Is it a kosher butcher? You should ask a shiner.
You've got to ask a shiner about it. Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The location makes a difference as well, you know, where you're going to open up.
Yeah, how near, whatever, yeah, the Golders Green Road, how far the road.
I heard from someone years ago that here in London, yeah. The community and the business community is so large that you're not going to be. The din of Hasag Askevul actually wouldn't
there's room for everybody.
There's room for everybody, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Lenosa al Karovo. So the Chepa Lenosa al Karovo, the Gemara defines that one as Zehamakarev es Karovov. This refers to someone who draws near his relatives. In other words, he doesn't leave his mishpacha, he doesn't dump his mishpacha, he draws them near, and he holds them close, and he holds them dear to him. Zamekov es Karovov. Yeah. Rashi, the Rivon learns, it means he helps his own relatives. Mm. Yeah, so charity begins at home idea. The Marsha learns a little bit differently, and the Marsha learns that the idea is that he is mochiach. He tells off his relatives. If they've done something wrong, he's makariv them. Not makariv them necessarily with a show of love, but he's makariv them religiously. He brings them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's makariv eskarovov. That's how the Marsha learns it. And he's not embarrassed to do so. That's how the Marsha learns. Good. Okay. Yeah.
Where is he able to?
Is it impossible? It's impossible.
Yitzhak wasn't able to deliver Esau.
That's it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's it. If it looks out, it can't be done. It can't be done. You know. But yeah, that's it. Good. The Marsha learns. Yeah, Lo Roga La Loshona. He just points out that Loshon Hara is even when it's truthful. Of course, we know that. But Loshon Hara, by definition, is when it's the truth. Otherwise, it's mostly shameless. Like my brother Cheskel always used to say, you know, I'm not talking Loshon Hara. It's true. Yeah, exactly. That's the definition of Loshon Hara. That's what Cheskel always said. Yeah, Mazel Tov Cheskel. Yeah, he just had another grandson, second grandson. Rosh Hashem. He's making a bar mitzvah in 2 weeks. Yeah. The Radak also points out where it says the Chepel Lenosa Al Karovo. He didn't do any. He didn't cause any shame or embarrassment to his relatives. He didn't do anything bad to his relatives. Also, lo osa lo re'ehu. He didn't do anything bad to his friends. So he says, does that mean that it's mutter to do bad to your non-friend? Does that mean it's mutter to heap disgrace upon your non-relative? Of course, it isn't. He says the point is that we simply have more contact with our re'im, with our friends. We have more contact with our krovim than other people. And the Radak points out it's simply normal that if there's going to be any problem, the problem will be with close relatives or with close friends and so on. That's where there's interaction between people, and therefore it's also can be dangerous. The Radak also points out the Hevel Anosal Karozo says if someone insults one should not reply, one should not retort. That's the Gemara in Nedarim puts out, Ne'elavim Ve'enam Olvim. Of course, Ne'elavim Ve'enam Olvim. It means that someone is embarrassed and does not respond. He remains absolutely silent. Yeah? Remains silent. Yeah, that's how he learns it. Mavram Medosov. Yes, thank you, I'd forgotten that. Yeah, Mavram Medosov. It's being controlled, not to. Yeah.
And then Hashem will overlook your sins.
Yeah.
If you don't react.
That's right.
Hashem won't react.
That's right. Yeah. I'll tell you a fantastic story about it.
Like Cronin's got some stories about
amazing things, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I heard a story from Rabbi Dunner. Rabbi Dunner, my wonderful headmaster, David Dunner, my amazing headmaster up at Tardis. And he told the story once to the boys, an amazing story about, I'll tell it really quickly, there was a chasna, and there were two ladies sitting together at a chasna, and they were chatting, and then along came someone, a third party, and this third party starting publicly insulting one of those two ladies, absolutely insulting her left, right and centre, publicly, aloud, everyone could hear. And the insulted lady was like, she was going red and one that was about to respond and was about to answer back when her chaver said to her, shh, keep quiet, don't say a word, don't reply. And it was very hard to remain silent, but she did remain silent, and the chava managed to persuade this lady not to reply. She didn't reply, and afterwards the third party went away, finished the insults and stormed off. And this chava said to her, you see, she said, because you need a big zechus, you have no children. The insulted lady had no children. You remain silent. Don't reply. Don't say a word. It'll give you a terrific zechus, and maybe, in that zechus, you'll be blessed with children. And that's exactly what happened. She's blessed with a child. Mm. So, and it was like, blessed with a child. The punchline is, you know, blessed with a child exactly 9 months later, this kind of thing. And it seemed it was in the zechus of remaining silent and not replying when insulted. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. The Sephorno learns, Le Roga La Lashono is not to speak Lashon Hara. The Sephorno says, and again I'm grateful to Michal Richman for lending me the Sefer, that Le Roga La Lashono is not just he didn't speak Lashon Hara, but he didn't speak even Avak Lashon Hara, where Avak Lashon Hara is defined as a very low grade Lashon Hara, and to my embarrassment I can't remember the definition of it and I can't remember an example of it.
Dust.
Yeah, it literally means the dust of Lashon Hara. It's not the real thing, but it's still forbidden.
Yeah.
But it's that the prohibition is a much lower grade prohibition than speaking Lashon Hara. Says the Sephorno, we're talking about a real tzaddik who didn't even speak mere avak lashon hara. And likewise, lo osalari ehu ra'o, he didn't do anything bad to his reya, to his friend, to his fellow Jew. It means, says the Sephorno, it means even indirectly. Of course, he didn't do direct damage to someone. It means he didn't even do indirect damage.
Simply, for example, someone said,
Rabbi Yeshaya from Turin, that's the Mechaber of the Sefer Tesis Arid, said something very sweet on this. Lo Rogal Al Lashon, he just defines the word Al. He didn't speak Lashon Hara Al Lashono with his tongue. Since when does the word Al mean with? Literally, it means upon or on. So he quotes another pasuk to define it, that the word Al can mean with. And the pasuk is in Parashas Vayakhel, and it's chapter Lamed Hei, pasuk Kafesh, where it speaks about all the people donating valuables to the Mishkan, in order to build the Mishkan. Vayavo'u ho'anoshim al hanoshim. The men came Al Hanoshim with the women to donate. They all came, everybody came to donate. So he says there you can see that the word Al can mean with. Therefore, Lo Ragal Al Lashon, he didn't speak Lashon Hara, Al Lashono with his tongue. Must be, there's the only one. Yeah, I couldn't think of any.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, yes, in Vayishlach. Emal Bonim, who was the Esau Penyova Vikani Emal Bonim. Yes. Yeah, beginning of Vayishlach. In case he come, Esau will come to slaughter the mothers with the children. Ah, Shkach, thank you. Oh, well done. Yeah. The Me'iri quotes a Gemara in Yuma, and the Gemara is on Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is discussing what's the definition of the Chilul Hashem. What defines the Chilul Hashem? And the Gemara quotes, the Gemara, Yom HaDatei Vavam and Aleph, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak Vavei Rabbi Yamai Omar, definition of a Chil Hashem is Kol Shechaveirov Nispaishin Nechamashmu Oso, where a person's friends are embarrassed because of bad news about their friend. If there's a by association, right? They're associated to someone, and this person has a bad reputation, so his friends are embarrassed. That's the idea of the cherpa lenosa al karovo, that there's no shame upon his relatives. So here we're talking about such a tzaddik that he does not cause his relatives embarrassment. So it's a direct parallel with that Gemara where a person's friends or relatives are caused embarrassment because of this person's behavior. That's the definition of the Chilul Hashem. The Mosad Rav Kook Tehillim says that Lo Rogal Al Lashono, together with Lo Osalari Ehu Ra'ah, they go together. Why? Because they're both very similar. Not speaking Lashon Hara about someone and not doing bad to someone. They're both, of course, very similar ideas of doing harm to someone else. The Yalkut Miam Lois has a very big chiddush on this. Lo Rogal Al Lashono doesn't speak Lashon Hara. He says, even speaking Lashon Hara to himself. I actually once discussed this shyly with Rabbi Cooper. I said, if a person says Lashon Hara, but he's talking to himself, he doesn't tell anyone, he's talking Lashon Hara, he's just talking to himself, is that the Aveira of Lashon Hara? So Rabbi Cooper said, no, it's not, because Lashon Hara means spreading the news to someone else. And he's not spreading news, he's just talking to himself. Yeah, So, but the Yalkam Ramiz points out that here, Le Rog Al Lashon, we're talking about such a tremendous tzaddik, he doesn't even talk Lashon Hara over to himself. That's how the Yalkam Ramiz points it. And then he points out another very sweet thing, Le Rog Al Lashon, totally new pshat. He says, he's talking about davening. When a person davens, he should not daven like an automaton. He shouldn't daven on autopilot. And of course, the word rogal, he says, comes from the expression of regilus, which means regular. Now, the word regular comes from the word rogil, to be regular. Yeah. And if a person davens on autopilot, then that's of course not particularly good. So lo rogal alashono, he didn't use his tongue to daven without kavana like an automaton. That's how the Yalkut Memez points out. And the Yalkut Memez also goes on to say that there are occasions where it is mutter to warn someone. Very similar to what you just said, Norman, about Rivka telling Yitzhak. Very similar. He says that lo rog al lashon, he didn't speak lashon hara, but he also lo asal ra, he didn't do anything bad to someone. Why? Because he says there are occasions when it is permitted to say something bad in order for someone else not to lose out. So not speaking lashon hara is all well and good, as long as you're also not going to do harm to someone. And he cites the case of Rivka. He says that Rivka got Yaakov to present himself as Esau to Yitzchak. Why? Because otherwise it would have gone against the sentiments of Lo'asel Re'erah. She didn't do not doing bad to someone. She wanted to do good to Yaakov, and therefore got Yaakov to present himself as Esau.
Afterwards, when Yitzchak did deceive his father, or present himself to his father, when Yitzchak realized the truth, what had happened, because Esau had confessed, he took my birthday. What else did he do? Then Rivka told him that the idols of his wives were a pain to her, and we do find that she did tell him to send Yaakov away from this Russia. So she did actually tell him when Yitzhak realized it.
Right.
But it was Esau himself who confessed. He came out with it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
We learned that.
He was one.
Yitzhak. Here's what Esau was saying. He complains. He took my. And what else did he do? He asked him.
Ah.
And
right.
What did he do that? And he spilled the beans. And then Rivka tells Yitzhak to send him away and find a wife and all the rest of it.
Ah, right. Oh, shkech. That's very good. Yeah.
So we do find that this correction, you can't, well, after the event.
After the event, and there are situations that's permitted.
When there was a confession, the truth came out, and then she tells him.
Good, yeah. Good, okay. Yeah. I have a sefer at home, a Pirush on Tehillim called Eretz HaChaim, written by Rabbi Avraham Chaim Katz, who lived, he was nifted in 1766. He says here that Lerog Al Lashono, again, we're talking about not just not speaking Lashon Hara, but we're talking about a very high madrega of avoidance of Lashon Hara, and we know that one of the issurim of Lashon Hara is to speak well of someone in order to cause a reaction, a negative reaction. So I say, oh, this guy's a super guy, he's so generous. Whereupon, and I do it in order to cause a reaction, and the reaction is the other guy says, yeah, well, he didn't lend me money when I needed it. Yeah. So, and if my kavana was in order to cause that reaction, then when I speak well of this person, that in itself is Lashon Hara. Because I'm thinking, and he says, that's the high madriga. He didn't even speak well as someone in order to create a reaction. And then he goes on in the Sefer Eretz HaChaim to say, he didn't bear shame on someone. He says, the idea is that we, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, that Ruth Bonim Domim La'achei Ha'im. Children, sons generally follow or are similar to the brothers of their mother. Yeah? The person generally resembles his father, his mother's brother. So he says, if someone is bad, then it will reflect badly on his mother's brothers. That's a he didn't cause shame to be heaped upon his mother's brothers by himself behaving badly, because people will say, oh, this guy's a bad guy,
but
he must be takes after his uncles, let's see what kind of people they are. And then he points out as well, at the bottom of that page, there's another Pirish there called Pirish Eretz Yisrael, and he says that the expression Eshef Chayo Miyimtza, the Pasuk Eshef Chayo Miyimtza, is Rosh HaTevis Achim. You want to marry a good wife, you have to look at the Achim, you have to look at the brothers of the woman. So Eshef Chayo Miyimtza, Rosh HaTevis Achim. Just pause this. As the Gemara says, that when a person wants to get married, he should look at this colour's brothers.
That's what the children will be like.
Exactly. Yeah. That's that Gemara then. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. So So that's the Ishah Chaim Yin. So Rosh Hashanah to Achim.
You get the brothers when they go to Joseph, and the other is asking these questions about your brothers, and one of the brothers says, is it that we want to take our sister for your wife? We ask about our brother.
Oh, yeah, is that nice? Yeah? I didn't know that. Good. All right, so we leave there. We've still got a bit more to do on this pasuk. A few more midrashim on this pasuk, which Mitzvashim will cover. Oh, no, not next week. Sorry.
In due course.
It'll be in due course, yeah. Stay tuned.